Welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Crypto. In today's episode, we'll be discussing mining. Today, we will be covering what is mining, why it is important to the crypto ecosystem, and how you can get involved if you want to. So stay tuned as we get into the mining world.
Have you ever heard of digital currencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and buzzwords like blockchain, cryptocurrencies, and mining? Don't know what it all means or how to get started? Well, at Let's Talk Crypto, we break it all down in easy-to-understand terms and help you learn and earn in the age of cryptocurrencies. So welcome to the Let's Talk Crypto Show, brought to you by SchoolOfCrypto.com with your hosts, Barry Moore and Tom Galeski.
Okay, following on from episode 10, where we discussed proof of work and proof of stake, we're going to cover mining in a little more detail. If you haven't listened to episode 10, please go back and listen to it now. It's not essential to understand proof of work and proof of stake, but it does help distinguish different mining activity and what makes crypto, crypto. So as always, joining me, Tom Galeski, on today's expedition to the crypto underground is Barry Moore. How you been, buddy?
Yeah, good man, good man. Just watching the crazy news in the crypto world. Every week's a new adventure, as the roller coaster, as you call it. So it's been a great ride the last couple of days.
It has been. So quickly, thank you for holding the fort down last week while it took a little bit of time out with the fam. And thanks to all the listeners for the happy birthday wishes last week. It went down really, really well. And wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart for that. So before we get into it, I just wanted to mention our January giveaway of a Ledger Nano S. For all the details, please come into our School of Crypto Facebook group. Just go to schoolofcrypto.com/Facebook and we'll give you all the details in there.
And just for those of you on mobile devices, it is a pinned post at the top of the page, but you don't see those by default on a mobile device like your phone. But there is a little click box at the top that says show pinned post and you'll be able to see it on your phone.
And good luck. Now, if I think back, mining is really what got me involved in crypto. Buying and holding in crypto just sounded boring. Trading was extremely scary, but mining sounded like fun. I get to play with computer stuff. I build a cool computer and then I get to tinker with it. Oh, and I get rewarded with some cryptocurrency. So that sounded really cool to me, but little did I know the rabbit hole that it would send me down. The mining can get really, really technical. So the whole point of today's episode is just to have a helicopter view of what mining is. We will have some technical terms that we talk about here, but all the definitions will be available on our glossary on the website. And I'll try not to use too many technical terms. Let's start by refreshing what mining is and how it fits into the crypto ecosystem. So what is mining? In the crypto world, there is no central bank to keep track of who owns what, who spends what money and currency and where it is at any point in time. The pure nature and the major problem that crypto solves is it removes the issue of double spending, meaning that currency or coins can only exist in a single location at a time. Unlike the banks, they take the money that you deposit and lend it out to others and make interest on it. So the process of mining is basically to verify the transactions and keep the overall ledger on track. It does this with the blockchain, which we've talked about previously. So the mining process checks that the transaction is legit via the hashing algorithm. The first computer to solve the puzzle gets the reward. A perfect analogy that Barry talked about in the previous episode was someone trying to guess your PIN number of your ATM card for the bank. They go through every possible combination until they verify the correct answer. This is then broadcast to the network for other people to verify that the transaction is correct, meaning that they've guessed the right number. This means it is correct. It's then written to the block every 10 minutes, then added to the blockchain. This is the ledger that is keeping track of Bitcoin allocation around the world and is the pure nature of a decentralization infrastructure. So there's no central place or person that's in charge. Now, miners are competing to solve this mathematical algorithm to get the rewards. The more computing horsepower you have, the better chance of finding the combination and getting the reward. So if you have a single computer versus the world, the chances of you solving the problem before the big boys is extremely minimal. This is why you can join a mining pool and everything in the pool works together and you share the rewards. It's the only real chance you have of getting any rewards in the current ecosystem. Now remember, in the mining world, miners are not collaborating, they are actually competing. So a little note here is that we can get really technical with the mining, we can use lots of fancy terms, but you don't have to understand all the complexity of the algorithm to use the crypto or do mining, just like you don't need to understand IP routing to use the internet. So if you want to go deep on hash functions and Merkle trees and hash chaining, then Google's your best friend for that. Now, if you think that mining is something that you do want to get involved with, the barrier to entry isn't too high. It can get technical, so we talk about the two broad topics of building a rig, or simply using cloud mining. Both have pros and cons that we'll go through today. This episode will be an overview on the different types of mining and guidance if you want to get involved. So just to quickly summarize and bring that back home, mining provides a bookkeeping of the coin network. Essentially, it's a 24/7 computer accounting process. Miners get paid a small reward for their service. So now we want to get into the different types of mining. So lots of decisions to be made here. Depending on what coins you want to mine will depend on what type of hashing algorithm that is used. And depending on the algorithm, also depends on the type of mining, the type of hardware that you also need to use for those particular coins. Now, we're just going to go through a few of the different categories. I might pass over to Barry now to go through some of the categories.
Right. So there's a couple of broad categories that go along with mining. So there's GPU and CPU mining. So central processing unit, that's the main chip inside your computer. And that's where it all started back in the day, right? So the idea, original idea behind Satoshi Nakamoto's design was that anybody can get involved with mining. So your laptop or your desktop on your computer, if it was sitting idle, you could use the CPU in that computer to mine for Bitcoin. And that's how it started back in the day. Somebody figured out that the graphics processing unit, those cards that draw your screen, especially for high-performance video games, are really designed to do a lot of calculations a lot faster than your CPU. So people started converting to using their graphics processing units, their GPUs, to mine for Bitcoin or other coins. And then they figured out, well, if one GPU is good, then two is going to be better, and four is going to be better, and eight is going to be better than that. So they started building these custom rigs with just multiple GPUs in them, just running all the time. So obviously that creates a lot of heat, a lot of noise. Tom will get into all the hardware stuff in a minute. But basically, you can still do that. You can still mine with GPUs, depending on which coin you're talking about and which algorithm you want to run. There's still a lot of GPU mining going on. Not too much CPU mining anymore. Maybe one or two coins that you can still mine with just a generic CPU. Monero springs to mind as one of those. And then so that arms race continued from CPUs to GPUs to now what's called ASICs, application-specific integrated circuit. So this is something built specifically to do one thing, and that's just hash against a specific algorithm. So if you just go on Google and you do a search for Bitmain factory, you'll see that this is big time business. There are giant warehouses in China and other places just filled with racks, 25,000 of these ASIC miners just churning away full time trying to solve these Bitcoin mining problems. So it's not the case of, hey, I can just set one up in my room and compete with these guys that are running 25,000 simultaneously, right? So if you really want to get into Bitcoin mining, you might want to consider buying one of these ASIC machines, because without that horsepower, you're going to lose the battle against the big boys. And you're going to have to take that ASIC machine, and you won't be just mining solo. You're going to have to put it into a mining pool, which Tom will talk about as well. With that particular type of mining, those ASIC machines, they're in high demand, as you can imagine. So they're hard to get your hands on, even if you wanted to, and they're quite expensive as well. So something to think about there. And then lastly, if you listen to episode 10, we talked about a lot of coins are moving to a different type of consensus algorithm or a different type of security for the network, which is called proof of stake. You don't need any specific hardware. You don't need GPUs. You don't need ASICs to run proof of stake. But basically what you need is a certain amount of coins. So for example, Neutron, you need 25,000 coins to run a masternode, which is your proof of stake. Your proof of stake in the game is that you have 25,000 of these coins, and then that allows you to compete for the newly minted coins and secure the blockchain. So proof of stake can run on any hardware, but there's still a cost to get involved. There are still rewards involved, but there's still a cost to get involved, and the cost is buying all those coins and holding all those coins and not using them. So those are different types of mining. While proof of stake is not technically mining, you are still putting up some money to get these rewards. So if you think you ought to get involved in this, there's a lot of factors to consider. Now, between the two of us, Tom's the big miner. I don't do a lot of mining, especially not with my own hardware. So I'll throw it to Tom to talk about some of the costs to consider if you think you do want to get involved.
Yeah, thanks, Barry. Now, one of the biggest things with this mining world is definitely time. To learn how to do all this sort of stuff and all the configuration and the geeky stuff, it's really cool for me. I mean, I've had over 20 years of experience in technology, and it definitely floats my boat. I really, really enjoy it. So, but you need to commit to time to really understand to get the most benefit and return on investment on your rig. So outside of the time, you have to consider hardware. Now, hardware can get expensive, like Barry said, with ASIC miners. They have different models available and the prices do vary, but they're upward of $4,000 and $5,000 US if you can get your hands on them, because they're very, very hard to get. The most popular rigs right now that we're seeing are these GPU miners. So we've got a computer, a motherboard with multiple graphics processor units or GPUs. And in order to get enough horsepower out of these things, you have to overclock them a little bit, which generates a lot more heat and also increases electricity usage. So you need to be wary of the electricity costs depending where you live in the world. Electricity costs do vary. Here in Australia, we're paying around 27 cents per kilowatt, and that is ridiculously expensive compared to everywhere else around the world. You have to consider software, things like whether it's Windows or Linux. So that comes down to technical skill and which one's easier to implement. Most of them nowadays are pretty easy to do, but again, it requires some level of technical expertise. And you also have to consider mining pool fees. Like Barry said, if you've just got this one little computer sitting in the corner, you're competing against all the other miners. Chances of you winning a block reward are really, really small unless you're part of a bigger pool. So you contribute your hashing power to that pool. And if that pool wins, everybody gets a reward. And that's what I do with my rig. And it's been proven to work really, really well for me. One of the big things with all cryptocurrency is what we call the difficulty or the difficulty adjustment. So as we have more transactions on the network, they have to lower the difficulty to allow the miners to process the transactions quicker to get them done in that 10-minute cycle. But if there's less transactions, they have to increase the difficulty to also try and keep that time frame around 10 minutes for the blockchain. So difficulties go up and down, but that also means your rewards go up and down. So when you're starting to work out some calculations and returns on investment, difficulty is one of these variables that's very hard to predict. Now, with Bitcoin specifically, the difficulty is adjusted every 2 weeks. So it does vary with different coins, as in when they adjust the difficulty. But again, when working out your ROI or your return on investment, you need to take into consideration the difficulty. And of course, the price of the coin, we've seen over this last week, pricing of coins, especially the altcoin market, fluctuates so much that you could have a large pool of coins that have stacked up that you've been holding for a while, and the value can go up, and the value can also come quite down. And another consideration is the increasing memory size requirements for the graphics card. So as an example, if you had a 3 gigabyte graphics card, you could have been mining Ethereum up until a short time ago, but unfortunately, now that the DAG file size, sorry to get technical guys, but the DAG file size is now over 3 gig, that means you can't mine Ethereum on a graphics card that has less than 3 gig of memory, which means you need to look at the next models up. And something else that a lot of people have not considered, and we're going to be talking about more of this moving forward, is a tax liability. Depending, again, where you are in the world, the governments and the tax office and the legislations now are starting to look at mining as an income generation process. So there may be a level of tax liability that you need to consider. So if this sounds really technical and you feel a little bit bamboozled by all the terms and all the tech behind it, that's because it is. And that's okay. There is another alternative for you. I love this stuff. I've really tried to put the handbrake up and not talk too technical. I hope I'll be able to achieve that so far. So what I'll do, I might throw over to Barry and he can go over cloud mining and what it's all about. All yours, Barry.
Yeah, so cloud mining is a way for you to get involved with mining, even though you don't either know how or want to know how to set up all that complex hardware. So for me personally, I travel a lot and I don't want a mining rig sitting in my house generating heat and generating noise while I'm away. But I still wanted to dip my toe in the water and find out about mining and how it works. So if you do want to get involved in mining, you can go with a cloud mining provider. And how that works is, they have these giant racks of hardware set up in their warehouse, as we talked about, and they will rent out that hash power to you for a contract price. So you can go onto their site, you can say, I want 500 mega hashes or a terahash of hashing power from 24 hours to 2 years to a lifetime contract. They will mine for you on your behalf. They will keep a certain fee, percentage of a fee for that, and then they will send you the proceeds once their fee's been subtracted. So you can get involved in mining without having to set up any hardware, without having to have cooling fans in your house, et cetera, et cetera. You can still get the benefits of mining with none of the kind of the initial infrastructure set up. So, but things to be aware of there is, you know, there are fees involved, right? So you're not getting 100% of the rewards like you would with your own mining rig. And as Tom said, you know, the prices can change. So if the price of a particular coin tanks or their difficulty algorithm goes up a lot, your contract might not be profitable anymore. And you've paid a contract for something that's never going to pay you back the contract value. So you need to do a little bit of homework and crunch a bit of numbers and come up with a game plan as to whether you think this is going to work for you. But it's an easy way to get involved without a whole lot of capital outlay up front. So When people talk about mining or any investment, I always like to remind them of the opportunity cost that's involved with that. So if I'm taking my money and I'm doing this particular thing over here, that means I'm passing up every other opportunity that I could have used to invest that money. So you really need to crunch some numbers to make sure that it's worth putting your money there as opposed to putting your money somewhere else. But if you do want to get involved with cloud mining, probably the most popular provider, well, definitely the most popular provider of mining is Genesis Mining. They have big warehouses in Iceland where the geothermal electricity costs are quite low and the temperature outside is cool so that they don't have to have as many cooling fans, etc., in their warehouses to keep things under control. Now, the problem with the fact that Genesis is the most popular is that Genesis is the most popular, right? So if you go to their website right now, they have nothing for sale. Every single piece of machinery they have in their warehouse is contracted out to be hashing for somebody. So right now, you couldn't buy any hash power from them, even if you wanted to. And as we talked about, you can buy different hash power from them if you want SHA-256 to mine Bitcoin, for example, or if you want X11 to mine Monero or Dash, you can pick which kind of contract you want. Another provider is Hashflare. They still have contracts for sale. You can go over there and you can see what the price is to mine a particular coin under one of their contracts. And the other provider is NiceHash. They had a big hack recently, which is probably a good thing because it made them tighten up all their security now. But you can buy contracts to hash any particular algorithm you want for as short as 24-hour period. So if you want to throw some money at hashing Ethereum, for example, you can throw some money at hash it for 24 hours, decide whether it's profitable for you or not. If it is, you can continue. If it's not, you can just bail out after 24 hours. You don't have to wait 2 years. Those are some of the examples of cloud mining. You're just basically renting someone else's hardware off them and paying them a fee, and then you get the proceeds. So then that begs the question, if you are going to mine your own coins or you're going to use cloud mining, someone else's hardware, which coins do you go after? Which coins do you target? So Tom's done a lot of homework around that. Tom?
Yeah, thanks, Barry. This is a question we get a lot, especially in the mining rig communities, like what coins are you mining right now and what coins to mine? And the first thing we need to consider here is the strategy. Like, what is your strategy for mining? Are you mining to earn some currency to spend or believe in the company and you just want to accumulate coins and cash in on the gains as the value of the coin goes up? So things like Ethereum, you know, you could have been mining Ethereum the last 3, 4, 5 months. Now we've had a huge spike in it. That means your overall stake or value of your coins that you've been holding have increased a lot in value. Now, you can choose a specific coin. One strategy is coins that support both proof of work and proof of stake. So people mine enough coins so they can then stake them and then obviously move across to another currency. That's one strategy that I've seen recently. I think it's pretty cool. Depending on the network load, the amount of transactions, the difficulty of the problem is increased or decreased to try and keep the blocks to around 10 minutes, as I spoke about earlier. So you need to keep a close eye on which coins are giving you the best returns. Now, a great online resource to work out what's going on, I'll include the links in the show notes, is whattomine.com. Now, this site changes pretty much every hour, but does consider things like electricity costs, the algorithm and difficulty, and lets you know where to focus your miner on at that particular time. So please use it as a rough guide because it does change all the time. You can even then select what type of hardware that you're going to be mining with. So another really good resource is coinwars.com. That's coinwars with a Z / cryptocurrency. It's a great resource which looks at the blocks, the rewards, the difficulty, the algorithms. So yes, it's getting technical, but it breaks all that down for you. So you can look at a particular coin and analyze it before you switch your mining rig over to that. Now, if that all sounds confusing and you're not sure where to start, Barry mentioned NiceHash before. I like NiceHash because first of all, it's a Windows program. You install that on your mining rig and you become part of that pool. So like Barry said, he doesn't want to invest in the hardware. He's not home all the time. He doesn't want to have this computer sitting in the corner that's generating heat and noise, but I do. So what I do is I put my pool, my hashing power into NiceHash, and that's just done by basically installing the software. Now, other people are renting out my hashing power. Now, what happens there is I earn Bitcoin, meaning that my mining rig and my hashing power is being sold out to other people and they pay me back in Bitcoin. So I don't have to worry about the different coins and the different algorithms. The one cool thing about NiceHash is that it will switch the algorithm when another type of algorithm becomes more profitable. So this is not a pitch for NiceHash, but in the mining world, if you do want to start and you still want to get your feet wet with some hardware, NiceHash is a really good way to go. And the best part is it pays me back in Bitcoin. So I don't have to worry about all the different algorithms and the difficulty because the software will adjust accordingly. Now, they do take a fee for their service, but in the scheme of things, it does show you how much you're making per day. So you can factor that into your overall calculation of return on investment. Now, with all this sort of stuff, as a hobbyist and as a miner, you're not going to get rich quickly. This is not get rich overnight and make $1 million a day. It does not work that way. The idea behind it is to accumulate coins and hold them until they increase in value. Mining is definitely a long-term play and something that people like us, like geeks, that really want to play with. So that probably moves us to the next stage is, you know, is it profitable? Is it worth building a rig, running it, going through all the technical stuff? Is it worth buying a cloud mining contract and investing some of your currency into that ecosystem? Like Barry said, it's the opportunity cost. If I'm taking, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 to buy some hardware and I'm sitting in a corner versus $2,000 to $3,000 putting it into a cloud mining contract versus just buying a coin, putting it in my hardware wallet and just letting it go. So Barry, what are your thoughts on some of the return on investments?
Yeah, I'm not convinced on mining yet. Especially hardware mining. So I've got some friends, you know, Tom's into it, but this is where we might disagree a little bit. So, you know, if you look at mining as a whole, you're spending all this money up front to build a machine so that down the track, you can get some coins back out of that machine. So for example, you know, or even if you're buying cloud mining contract that goes for 2 years, you're hoping that at the end of that 2 years, you have half a Bitcoin or two Ethereum or whatever. So you're spending all this money up front to get these two Ethereum later, for example. I think if you break out a spreadsheet and really break it down, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me personally. So for example, if I were to spend $4,000 on a mining rig to mine Ethereum, let's say, that's $4,000 capital outlay straight off the bat. It's $4,000 opportunity cost I can't put anywhere else in the hopes that I get some coin 1 year or 2 years from now or whatever that's going to cover everything. There's, you know, to get to the break-even point or whatever. Now, if I had just taken that $4,000 and bought Ethereum 3 months ago, that $4,000 would now be worth $12,000. So I didn't have to wait any time to get those coins. I had them immediately. I didn't have to buy any hardware that was depreciating in value every day because, as we said, you know, these hardware mining things are an arms race. Whoever has the fastest, best machine wins. So they all have a shelf life. You know, a mining rig 2 years from now is probably going to be worthless. So that $4,000 you invested in your mining rig is probably going to be worthless. So you're going to be writing that $4,000 off over 2 years. Whereas that $4,000 worth of Ethereum that I bought today or 3 months ago, that was worth $4,000, still worth $4,000. I still have my initial $4,000, plus I have a 300% profit on top of that. So I think you really need to break out a spreadsheet and figure out where that break-even point is and what the potential profit is before you go putting all that capital outlay up front now to get something of a reward later on. Now, having said that, I like to investigate and I like to play. I want to know every part of this little cryptocurrency ecosystem. So I've taken Genesis contracts out just to see how they work and do a little bit of an experiment. So I got some Bitcoin contracts on Genesis back when you could get some. The break-even point was about 4 months or so. So after 4 months of that two-year contract, everything is profit from there. It does generate a profit, but again, you need to look at that initial outlay. You need to look at your opportunity cost. What else could that money be doing? Tom, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm hearing what you're putting down, Barry. And like I said, that's where I started my crypto journey about this mining stuff. And I think psychologically it's like I'm getting stuff for free, I'm mining for free, even though I had to, you know, configure the rig and buy all the parts and get all that sort of stuff sorted there. But if I look at it the other way, now it does vary hugely depending where you are in the world on, you know, the hardware costs and the electricity costs. There's some place around the country that's paying 3 and 4 cents per kilowatt. So for them, the model presents more profitable to them. The parts and the hardware is cheaper, which also can, you know, give them a better return on investment. Now, if I just had a broad brush stroke guesstimate, most people are getting their return on investment, meaning paying off their rigs within 6 to 10 months, depending on the coins, depends on the difficulty, depends on the time of the day. There's so many factors into this. So if you were to make that investment of a few thousand bucks, build a rig, get your return on investment, let's say worst case, you know, a year, 12 months. That means until the rig dies after a few years, potentially because you're shortening the lifespan by running the GPUs at, you know, at max capacity. After that, everything after your return on investment becomes essentially creams. And, you know, if we look at this, and the amount of coins that you can accumulate. I've had some winners and I've had some losers, but at the end of the day, anyone that's got any type of crypto in the last 6 months is probably a winner anyways. It's so hard to predict where this goes. I've also got cloud mining contracts like Barry, because I wanted to see and compare the differences between having a rig that I can play with and having one in the cloud that I can just basically log in and monitor. I understand where Barry's coming from and he makes a compelling argument, and I think it's each to their own. And like I said, look at What to Mine and Coin Wars, and there's a few other resources that I will list on the show notes where you can sit there and do your own research. We're not here to give you advice. I mean, classic disclaimer that we talk about every episode, this is just our opinions. This is our experience that we're sharing with you. We're not saying you should go buy a mining contract. We're not saying you should go over to, you know, Amazon and go buy parts and start building your own mining rig. But what we are seeing, that so many people are getting involved in this space, that hardware's hard to come by. ASIC miners' pricing has gone through the roof. You know, GPUs and graphics cards, if you can get them in stock, are 20, 30, 40, 50% above what they were 6 months ago. So there's so many compelling arguments for mining. I've seen a lot of questions in our School of Crypto Facebook group, and that's why we thought we'd do this episode, helicopter view of what mining is and some of the shortfalls and the shortcomings on whether you want to get involved or not. So I'm with you, Barry. I can see the complexity. I think it sounds a lot easier to just buy a cloud mining contract, but I get to overclock things and muck around with stuff and make the computer beep at me. And I do like that.
Well, you bring up a very good point there, right? So if it's something you enjoy and something you're going to be doing anyway, and you like that, then by all means, sure, right? But if you're one of these people who is not very tech savvy and just heard they should get into mining, and they sit down and they, you know, watch a couple of YouTube videos and try to build a Linux mining rig with like four graphics cards in it, that's going to be a horribly painful process for that person. They're probably going to get it wrong. It's going to take them weeks to get it up and running properly. And again, that's weeks of opportunity time that you could have been using to do something else. So again, I think you're absolutely right. I think it comes down to what you're good at and what you can enjoy. And the more I work in this crypto space, the more I think it's your competitive edge against everybody else as an investor or a speculator or whatever you want to call it, is taking your individual skills that you have as a person that you've accumulated over your life and then finding a way that you can apply that to the crypto sphere that gives you a competitive edge over somebody else. Now, Tom is an IT guy from way back. He's been playing with hardware forever. That gives him a competitive edge over somebody like me who's never done that. If I sat down to try and build a mining rig, like I know my way around a computer, don't get me wrong, but now I'd have to sit down and learn Linux. I'd have to sit down and learn all the software involved with hashing. I'd have to learn how to build a rig from scratch. That's a total waste of my time. But Tom's got an advantage over me because he already knows all that stuff. And I have, you know, other areas where I might have an advantage over Tom. So I think it takes personal stock of your personal skills and attributes and how that you can put that to work in the crypto sphere.
That's a great way of putting it, Barry. And I was very conscious when I was putting some of these show notes together to not get too geeky, too technical. But if you guys want to have a technical one-on-one conversation, our Facebook group's the place to do it. Go to Facebook, search for School of Crypto, and go in there, leave your feedback, leave your comments. And if you want to talk turkey and talk about NVIDIA versus Radeon cards, then let's have those conversations.
And by all means, if you want us to dive deeper into a particular area, if you want us to do a whole episode on hashing algorithms and which one's the best to use, or hardware and which one to buy, or if you want us to do a whole episode on cloud mining, for example, just leave us a comment in the Facebook group and we can do a deeper dive into any of these subject areas for you.
And now that sounds like a lot of fun. So I know we went through a fair few technical terms. I did mention some links. I will put some really detailed show notes together for this episode with links and resources that I use. Now, for all you miners out there and all the true geeks that really want to know about the different types of cards and which ones can give you the better return on investment, I'll have links and resources to that. I didn't want to cover it all in the show because, you know, majority of our listeners are just beginners, are just starting out, and I didn't want to overwhelm them. So for those people that want to know more, our show notes are the way to go. schoolofcrypto.com/show. And look up the mining episode and it'll all be there for you. That brings today's episode to an end. If you have any questions, like we said, please go over to our Facebook group or go to our website and leave your comments and feedback there. In the meantime, we would love if you could subscribe and share. It helps our show grow and get a wider reach for people to get involved in this wonderful crypto world, Bitcoin, digital currency, money revolution that we're seeing right now. And just a reminder, don't forget for January 2018, we have our competition. We're giving away a Ledger Nano S to one of our wonderful loyal listeners. To find out all the details, go to schoolofcrypto.com/Facebook for all the details. So until next time, bye for now.
See you, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Let's Talk Crypto Podcast. You can find the links, show notes, and all the latest cryptocurrency news over at schoolofcrypto.com.